Good morning, happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading will be found in Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lambs. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I was talking to Sabrina just a second ago, and I said, is your knees shaking? I asked Shamira, I said, were your knees shaking? Am I knees shaking? But we're family here, aren't we?
Yes.
That's wonderful. That means a lot. I think that's one of the biggest things about Thanksgiving is family. So let's do it right. I know there's visitors here today, and all of us together, turn around where you're at in your pew or stand up and go give each other a hug and welcome each other. What a time. This is Thanksgiving. Welcome each other. It's nice to have families stick together, isn't it? Well, it's wonderful to be up here from Ashland Church. We have sunshine today. Somewhere. Could be worse. Could be pouring down rain on us, that's for sure. Enter with thanksgiving. It's a little different time of year, isn't it? We have, it's the time that we pause and we give thanks. So before we open our Bibles this morning, let's ask our Lord to be with us today. Father in heaven, we come before your throne of grace with thanksgiving. We thank you for the many blessings, Lord. We thank you for that unbelievable grace that you give us. Lord, we are a people who have pulled together in unity this day, and I pray forevermore that we'll be in unified with you. Unified as we go through these last moments of the world's history where we need each other more than anything. Always in thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like for us to open our Bibles this morning to our scripture reading, and we're only going to be in five verses the whole time. So you'll be able to keep your Bibles open to one part of the Bible, and that's Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. Let me know when you're there by a big amen.
Amen.
I see there's still more amens to come. Let's see what David had to say here. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and that he hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. There's something about that, those verses stands out. What particular word stands out? It said 8 times.
Thanksgiving.
Did that go 8 times? How about his? Count them up. 8 times in the verse shows we are his. Not anybody else's. We're his. My heart tells me we are a people and a nation that's been truly blessed. We are truly blessed. And all who give thanks to him and praise him, our country should be at the top this morning of the list, that we should be thankful that we live in a free, free nation. There's many folks this morning in other countries, it's not free. I think about the gentleman that risked his life this last week, that was a soldier in North Korea. You probably read about him. Ran across the line for freedom. Took 5 bullets. He's still alive, barely. What is the price? What is the price of freedom? It isn't uncommon to compile maybe a wish list at Christmas time. Maybe at New Year's we draw up all kinds of resolutions for the new year. But there's another list we often overlook. We often overlook the Thanksgiving list of all for which we are thankful. This morning I'd like to read a list that some housewives compiled. Kind of interesting. They had a special wish list, you might think. They wrote that they were especially thankful for automatic dishwashers because they make it possible to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back in for their after-dinner snacks. You ladies would appreciate this one. They were thankful for husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house, because they usually make them big enough to call in the professionals. Now, come on. Men, we know how to read instructions, don't we? Here's a good one. They were thankful for children. They were thankful for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. It's such a joy, you hate to see them go home to their own parents. And hey, we can all relate to this one. These housewives were very thankful for teenagers because they give each one of us an opportunity to learn a second language. We can relate to that, that's for sure. And finally, they were thankful for smoke alarms, because they let them know when the pies are all done. I noticed more of the guys laughed on that one than anything. Dear, I smell something burning, don't you? Now, our list might not be personally what our housewives had, but I'm convinced that if we began to make a list, we'd find we have much more to be thankful for than just those material possessions, don't we? Like you, I'm sure that includes in a list, say, things of life like health, friends, like we were talking about, a nation that we live in. Despite all of its flaws, it's great to wake up in the morning and know that you're free. But even more than that, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for a church family, a sister church. That reminds me, why do they always call it sister? Brother church sounds good to me. I'm thankful for the mercy that God showers on me every day. With Jesus, we have so much for which to celebrate on Thanksgiving in this time period. But has it ever occurred to you that no Americans like us, no Americans were ever more underprivileged than that small handful that came over on the Mayflower, who started the custom to set aside a day of Thanksgiving to give thanks to an almighty God? I mean, they had no homes. They had no government agencies to help them build any homes. I mean, when they needed to get around, they didn't have Uber. They had two legs to get around with, and that's about it. They didn't bring over a big bunch of team of horses, some Clydesdales to pull all what they needed. It's a pretty small ship. Their food came from either the sea, it came from either from the forest, and then they had to get it for themselves. They had no money. They didn't even have a place to spend it, even if they had it. They had no amusements except what they made for themselves. They had no means of communication. The only tweet they ever came up with was what the birds were doing. No cell phones. No Social Security, no Medicare. But if anyone who dared to call them underprivileged would probably have ended up in the stocks. They did have four things. They had courage. They had initiative. They had a willingness to work. And they had a boundless, boundless faith in God. You know, that almost sounds strange today in a time when powerful forces are at work in our nation to strip everything, every reminder that the very foundation of our nation was built upon the conviction that we are one nation under God. Amen. Satan is after us, my friends. He's after us through our government, through anything. Anywhere that he can possibly get to you, he is. He can't get to Jesus anymore. So guess who he's after? You and me. I'd like to read a small portion. Very interesting about our Declaration of Independence. It proclaims that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. And towards the end of the Declaration of Independence, it says, and it ends with these words, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge each other in our lives, our fortunes, and our honored sacredness. My friends, Thanksgiving is a distinctive holiday. It doesn't commemorate a battle or anyone's birthday or anniversary. It's simply a day it's set aside to express our nation's thanks to our nation's God. Many a man died for our nation. We should thank every veteran that you see. Our nation once again celebrates Thanksgiving Day. And one would assume that because of the example of our forefathers, and because today we have so much, that we would be extremely, how would you say, a thankful people. But that's not often true, and sometimes it's just the opposite. The more we get, the less thankful sometimes we become. The less mindful of God we are, and the more and more we want. Right after Thanksgiving comes what? What day? Ah, it's before that. It's Black Friday. Christmas. That's when you don't have any more money. You spend it all on Black Friday. That's all we hear about leading up to Thanksgiving. We don't hardly even mention about what we're thankful for at this time. It's about what? What we got, what we're going to do with it. I think that the 100th Psalm was written to deal with that attitude, to remind us of our need to be thankful and to maintain an attitude of gratitude. The 100th Psalm was written for the people of Israel. God said to them, when you come into the promised land and settle down in your nice warm homes, and you have plenty to eat, the Lord said, don't forget me. I led you out of the wilderness and I brought you into the land of flowing of milk and honey. And it doesn't take very long to realize that the people of Israel, they needed a reminder. And I'm afraid that we might need a reminder too about what we are thankful for. You know, God had us in mind also when the Psalms were written. Did you notice when you read Psalms 100, did you notice that to whom it is addressed? I'd like to pick the whole five verses apart this morning. The first verse says it's addressed to who? Who's it addressed to? That's right. All the earth. It's not just addressed to one small part, but it's to all of us. That includes all what? Generations. Not just a particular few, not just for that time period. This message of Thanksgiving was so deep and wide, it applies to every person in every era and every stage of life. It's a powerful part of Psalms 100. It's sad, isn't it, that we are the only country, though, in the world, except for Canada, and I never knew this till a while ago, the Philippines also celebrate Thanksgiving. I wonder how the world might be changed if each country would celebrate Thanksgiving. Think about the power in that. I think about there is something about giving thanks together to God that breaks down maybe some barriers. Barriers between people. It does bring unity. I know that because I remember the day when the wall came down in 1989 and communism's back was broke forever. There was unity, wasn't there? Not long, but it's amazing what unity can do. That's why we need to be unified for Jesus every day. I think that there's a real danger in this season of determining, though, our Thanksgiving on the basis of how much that we have. Do I have enough food on the table? Or tofurkey? I can just gorge myself with tofurkey. Yeah. I'm mostly a vegetarian, but I do like real turkey. Do we think about how much we have, we give thanks because how much maybe money we have in the bank? That determines it. Am I healthy? And we let these things determine whether we are or aren't thankful. That's dangerous. Very dangerous. The only thing that we have for sure is our relationship with our Lord. That's the only for sure thing. We start out in Psalms in verse 1. Psalms emphasizes, and you'll find the name of what in the very first verse?
Lord.
That's right. It emphasizes the Lord. How about in verse 2? Theory? How about verse 3? The Lord. Verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Verse 5, what do you find? The Lord. I think the basis for our thanksgiving is, that's right, the Lord. Very interesting. How many remember Alex Haley? He did Roots. Remember the movie Roots, the book? He had an unusual picture hanging on his office wall. It was a picture of this turtle sitting up on a fence post. And when he was asked why it was there, Alex Haley answered, every time I write something great, I do something great. Every time I read my words and think they're wonderful, and I look at that turtle and I begin to feel, you know, that turtle didn't get up on that post by himself. What did he have to do? He had to have help, didn't he? And that's what Alex Haley saw when he thought he was proud. I think we need to think about that a lot, about that turtle. He didn't get up on that fence post by himself. He had help. He had help. That is the basis of our thanksgiving, to remember that we got here because of God. And that he is the provider of every blessing. Every single thing that keeps us up on top of that fence post. Now, as we look more carefully at Psalms, we find there's a series of five commands given. Five commands are given in these five verses. The first command in verse 1 is to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Shout for the Lord, all the earth. Are you joyful unto the Lord? He takes care of you. It means to shout with the force of a trumpet blast. A shout for joy to the Lord that comes from the very depths of your being. Maybe he solved some problem that you had yesterday. Maybe he's given you the direction to go. Maybe he's provided some blessing and you realize that it comes from God. So in the depths of your being, you proclaim his praise to him. You fall on your knees. That's so thankful. And that's a command. That is a command in verse 1. Billy Graham tells of a veteran missionary who came up to him one day after he had delivered a sermon. The missionary introduced himself and said, I was a medical missionary for many years in India. I served in the region where they had a problem with progressive blindness. He told Billy that people were born with healthy vision, but somehow something went wrong in that area and caused people to lose their sight as they grew older. But the missionary had developed some type of a treatment which could stop the progressive blindness. So the people came to him and he performed the treatment, and they would leave realizing that they would have been completely blind, but because of him, their sight had been saved. The missionary said that these people never said thank you, though. Never said thank you. Because that phrase wasn't in their dialect. Instead, they spoke the words that meant, I will tell your name. I will tell people about you. And wherever they went, they would tell the name of the missionary who had cured their blindness, that they had received something so wonderful and so precious that they eagerly proclaimed it. And you know, I think that's what David is saying here. Suddenly, my friends, you realize that God has been so good to you that you just can't keep it inside of you. And so you shout for joy. You shout from the depths of your being. The second command is serve the Lord with gladness. My friends, it doesn't say serve the church. It doesn't say serve the pastor or serve the leaders or serve the organizations. It says serve the Lord. The Bible teaches that if we are witness on the behalf of the Lord, if we feed the hungry, if we clothe the naked, if we do the work of the Lord, whatever it might be, we are serving the Lord. And in turn, we want to be the right hand to the pastor. We want to be able to help each person that might have something that they do in the church. For instance, personal ministries, Bible working. We want to, instead of somebody coming up, could you help on this thing? No, you're coming to them. You're going to them. Because who are you serving first? You got it. Matthew 25:40, Jesus says, "Insomuch have you done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." I'm not sure that we always grasp that. Maybe we serve at times out of feeling sometimes, and we've all done it. We have to be honest to ourselves. We've served out of obligation or a fear of guilt if we don't serve, or maybe even because we want to draw, unfortunately, attention to ourselves. We live in sin. We talked about that this morning. But we also have grace, aren't we? Don't we? Wonderful grace. Boundless love that Jesus has for us. The third command is come before him with joyful songs. Have you ever noticed in the first three commands, God has said something very special? He wants us to be happy. Nothing wrong with that. Shout with joy, serve him with gladness, and come with joyful songs. Now, just take a moment. Look at the people around you. What does their faces say? Are they happy? Uh-oh, boy, people are smiling now. Oh, yes, I'm happy. Nothing wrong with me today. How many times have we ever came through the door? You ever hear anybody ever say, no, man, it's a lousy day. Somebody says, how are you doing? Oh, just fine. Just fine. Sure. This is a hospital, isn't it? It's okay. It's okay to have your problems. It's okay to cry on somebody's shoulder. We're family. We are family. David says, come before him and serve him and sing his praise with joy in your heart. The fourth command from chapter 100, verse 3, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his. We are his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. God took every bone, every joint, and he welded them all together with muscles and covered them with skin and gave us eyes to see, brains to think, fingers that can pick up and do things. God made us inside and out. He made you the way he wanted you to be. And that's a mystery, isn't it? I don't understand why, but somehow in God's providence, he decided that he wanted to have a medium or over medium-sized man. Not too good-looking, not outstanding in anything, but just a faithful father and husband who would keep prodding along. So he made me. Some place along the way, he had you in mind, and he made you. And he's still making us, my friends. He's still making us. He's still molding us. We're rocks. We're rocks like in a tumbler that are tumbling us day by day. That's what sanctification is. We're just in one big tumbler. And God is molding us. He's taken off all those rough edges. He's preparing us to meet him. He's still making us. And you know what, my friends, it's important to realize too, he's not satisfied with the unfinished product. He's not satisfied, my friends, with your temper. He's not satisfied with your weak areas in life. He's not satisfied where you may be giving in to temptation. He's still working in us, isn't he? Praise the Lord. He's still making us. He's still working in our lives. God is your maker, and you are created in his image. Therefore, give him thanks for who you are, just the way you are. The Lord went to people. He went out and reached out to people exactly where they were at. He's reaching out to you today, exactly where you're at in your life. Then he says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. But you know what? We like to be the shepherds, don't we? We don't like to be the sheep. It's not fun being always the sheep. We like to be the shepherd. We want to do all the leading. But the problem is we don't know where the still waters are. And we don't understand what the green pastures are all about. And every time we go out searching for him, we end up in some muddy waters and a pasture filled with tofurkey. So we need to let him be the shepherd. We're not very good at being a shepherd. We all are his sheep. God is saying, you be the sheep, let me be the shepherd. I will lead you beside the still waters and the green pastures. But he says, my friends, he says, let me lead. I'm pretty good at it. Been doing it for a few billions of years. It's okay. I'm not bad at it if you just let me. The fifth and final command is in verse 4 and 5. He says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. You know, in the Old Testament, the temple symbolized the presence of God. So whenever the people came to the temple and entered into the courtyards, they knew they had come before the Lord's presence. They were truly in his presence. They knew it. But now the temple really, it no longer exists anymore. But oftentimes the place where we meet, what do we call this? We call it the sanctuary, don't we? Indicating that God is here. He's with us right now. We have many angels around us right now, recording everything. We enter into his gates. God is everywhere. He's with you when you drive down the highway. There'll be a time probably in heaven that you'll be able to converse with the angels that will be able to tell you, you remember that time when you missed that red light? There was a reason why you missed that red light. We were there. God was there. Don't hurry. Life's too short. For you young people that's learning how to drive, every time you get into that car, before you turn that engine on, you pray to the Lord to be with you. Be with you in all things. Before you go out on the baseball diamond, be with you. Before you open that book to study, be with you. Before you take care of your elderly family members, everyone, have the Lord's presence with you to take care of them. That's being thankful. Because look at what they did for you when you were younger. It's called honor thy mother and thy father. It's part of that being thankful in all things. So that's the source of our thanksgiving, isn't it? But I'm worried this morning, it's something to think about in closing. What if God began to treat us like we often treat him? What if God met our needs in the same extent that we give him our lives? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled when God sent the rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God took away his message because we wouldn't listen to his messenger or messengers? And what if he wouldn't bless us today because we didn't thank him yesterday? What if God answered our prayers the way we answer his call for service? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we did not follow him today? Today is the day of salvation. Today might be the last day. I've said this before. Somebody said to me a while back, oh, God's not going to come for a long time. They've been saying that forever. He's still a long ways off, isn't it? My friends, if you pass away in 45 seconds from now, you get to meet him. And that's the truth. Every second counts. Our prayers, everything that we do, should be to the glory of God. I pray that this will be a meaningful Thanksgiving season for all of you and your family. Take time to read the 100th Psalm again. And if you heed those commands, your heart will overflow with thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen. Our closing song this morning, I think, is page 633. Is that true? Yes, it is. When we all get to heaven, that's right.
Let's stand together and sing our closing song. Thank you.
Father, what a wonderful day that will be. Right now, we can still rejoice. We can be so full knowing that we have the victory through Jesus. Lord, go with us today. Go with us this coming week as we celebrate that thankfulness. Each one of us, we need to be mindful of where we came, how we got here, and where we're going. Through you, Lord, nothing can happen without you. And we thank you for that grace, that love, your kindness. May we be a people that shows that to others, not only at this time of the year, but always. Till we meet again, we thank you so much, Lord, for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.